I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, November 1st, 2018, and the San Jose Sharks lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets, sometimes known as the Neon Buggers, sometimes known as the Cannons, sometimes known as being victorious in San Jose. They won tonight 4-1 over the San Jose Sharks. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. So do us a favor, join us, be a part of the show. Multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us, along with fellow Sharks fans. And you guys are already going at it in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. You can also hashtag us at TealTownUSA or just follow us on TealTownUSA, and might as well do yourself a favor. Join us on Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. All right. Intro's out of the way. Let's say hello to Mr. Alex Martinet.
How you doing?
I would say better than the Oakland Raiders right now, but I'm not sure about that.
I think anyone's better than the Oakland Raiders at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Also joining us, just getting home from the tank, it is the one and only AJ Strong with a special guest.
As always, Ms. Kayla. I like the comment in the chat. How is AJ already home? Dude, I live like 6 minutes from the tank, man.
Right.
But yeah, I can't wait to get into this one because holy cannoli. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm looking at this lower third. Why do I not have one of those? But anyway, I digress.
I thought I sent those out to you.
Let's not make a big deal out of it and move
on. Yes. All right. Well, let's just get at it. Let's look in some of the chat because, wow, the chat is already popping already. Rob Iman, by the way, Rob, great to see you the other night at the game. Tonight's loss ranks a 3 on the puck impact scale. Sleepy Mofo saying what another embarrassing loss. Puck Mom saying a huge ouch. So
when it comes to SGSU athletics, of course they do it on today's night.
Oh, on San Jose State night?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get into it. First period, things looking good. Guys looked like they were somewhat competitive there. And you know, what? They break up.
You watching?
I'm trying to be optimistic here.
They were competitive the first period. Let's put it that way.
First period?
I'll give them the first period, second period, third period.
I'll give them between the 4 minute mark and like the 12 minute mark.
Which is about the time where Kevin LeBanc scored and got off his schneid, his second of the season from Couture and Vlasic at 11:50. Good to see a deposit being slitting into the bank pass. Bobrovsky.
Dude, did you see LeBanc's reaction? You talk about a guy who was so ready to get off the schneid. That guy was screaming for it. When you saw his reaction, it was just like, oh, my God, finally. I mean, dude. And when you think about the way that he's been moved around over the last 5 games because of Thornton coming back, and it just, you talk about a guy who needed, I mean, that is one thing I will say, you know, good on the Sharks, is great to see LeBanc get off that schneid because, God, did that kid need it.
It was his second goal of the season?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, you know, good for him.
You know, LeBanc had a game where he had 4 assists. You know, I mean, he was looking solid early on. And true. Just the last 5 games had gone dormant.
Yeah, I think that was the big – I mean, it was good that he had the first 4 assists, but – I think what we always wondered about LeBanc is that he struggled to shoot sometimes. Is he too reluctant to shoot the puck? And I don't want him to become another Joe Thornton in a way, because he has an amazing shot. And I don't know about you, but when I first saw the replay, it looked like Hurdle touched the puck. So, yeah.
You know what? Just give it to LeBron. But Hurdle's on like a 7-game point streak. I think he can cough a game up. You know what I mean?
Maybe not after tonight.
Right.
Well, not after tonight, no. But at least Couture extends his point streak. I mean, and literally, he was the only one. It's like you had Burns and Meyer on 9-game streaks, and both of them, those are gone. You had Couture and Hurdle coming into this one on 7-game streaks. The only one that kept it going was Couture getting the apple on LeBanc's goal. But this was a game that was really just drove me nuts. And if you go back and look, I'm watching this game from the side of the ice where, you know, in 2:11 where they're supposed to shoot towards the goal twice in a game. And after 5 minutes, we're like going, hey, could y'all play down here for a couple minutes? That'd be really nice. You know, I mean, Columbus just really held possession in this game. The Sharks were overpassing, trying to do way too much. And so I'm sorry, Eric. I mean, go ahead and finish off the first period with Duclair's goal, but it's just there was out of 20 minutes, the Sharks controlled play, I want to say, for maybe 6 minutes.
Okay.
I think that's probably correct, though. And being generous at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's after that goal, I think Columbus started to pick it up. And Columbus did outshoot the Sharks in that period by a skosh margin of 11-10. But one of those shots was Anthony Duclair's fifth from Murray and Wenberg at 16:30. That tied the game up after one period. They did seem like they came on strong right afterwards. And that's something that you see that from Columbus. They aren't giving up. And I think Anthony Duclair, who had such a potential in Arizona, and then he bounced a couple of times around, but I think he's found a home in Columbus now with the Neon Buggers. But overall, Alex, you guys already kind of touched on the first period already, but what did you take from the opening 20?
I will say on that Anthony Duclair goal, I thought Dell was out of position on that. And maybe there's a scouting assessment with when it comes to Dell where he'll play the puck on the boards. And that's what Duclair saw. But I do wonder sometimes if Carlson is just not getting the system. It seems like there's a couple of times, including the last game against New York, where he just stops skating.
Al is not wrong. Duclair is the one. That was the one that was the wraparound, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That was the one. I totally felt like Dell overcommitted, especially when he had a defenseman right on the doorstep in front of him. Yeah. That was a goal that I was kind of like, oh, Dell, you're going to want that one back, brother.
Yeah. Made Jones look good, which is hard to do right now.
Wow.
Let me just hit the chat real quick.
Go for it.
No, just because Skyler's saying my only bright spots of the game was I got a Tomas Hurdle puck in warmups, and I got to meet AJ in person.
Wow, that's
no, Skyler. It was really nice to meet Skyler. Also got to meet Jerry SJS because he was the winner of the tickets. One of the winners.
Nice
of the tickets tonight. Got to meet both of them at 118 during first intermissions. Both of them very, very cool people. Skyler evidently surprised by my height. He didn't think evidently he thought I was puck guy height, not regular person height.
Hey. Don't make fun of the same height as Tyler Johnson and Max Domi, all right?
Just saying. Around.
Whatever. All right. Moving
second,
on.
Second period.
There's a reason why they play for Arizona.
Oh, damn. Second period now, moving on the Jackets. While they were outshot 10-8 this period, they came on strong here and crashing the net. Something the Sharks were doing when they went 4-0-1 before coming home. Seth Jones gets his second goal of the season from Duclair and Sedlak at 9:15, that turns out to be the game-winning goal and the the defining moment of this game, and Brody was very adamant during Twitter mission tonight in regards to this goal, and Jones definitely had changed directions of his skate, and really there was a little bit of wondering if that was a distinct kicking motion, but
dude, Brody on the Twitter mission with Kubro, there's a lot of talk about distinct kicking motions, but this is one of those games where I look at it, I don't care. I don't care if there was a distinct kicking motion or not, because the Sharks, for the most part, after getting asked three different ways about going to a Drake concert.
Oh, boy.
And then Halloween following last night and different players tweeting out what they did for Halloween. You have to bookend both of these games, which is the Rangers versus Columbus. Rangers came in not having a single win on the road, having only three wins under their belt, and coming in only winning four of their last five games, and they beat the Sharks for the second time this season. Columbus comes in winning or losing four of their last five games. On paper, this is a game, especially after what they showed up as versus New York, this is a game that you would almost like bet the farm on that Sharks are going to win this by three or four goals. And let me take a look at shots. It was still the Sharks still somehow, and I don't even get this looking at the numbers, 45 shots on goal. I don't know where those came from, because I was at the game. I thought they put about 20, maybe 30 shots on goal. I don't know how the hell they ended up with 45 shots on goal.
We'll get to that. Go ahead, Al.
I was going to say the stat that I saw was that Columbus blocked 26 shots compared to the San Jose, where they only blocked two.
As we piggyback towards it to finish the final stats, the Columbus Blue Jackets blocked 30 shots tonight compared to the San Jose Sharks 4.
So let's talk about who wanted it more.
And we move on, and late in the period, Nick Foligno gets past Vlasic and Erik Karlsson and beats Aaron Dell for his fourth of the season, a backbreaker with under 2 minutes to go, of course, from Nidavara at 18:40. You go after 40 minutes down 3-1, and I think pretty much the – and granted, it was a small crowd, and partly because of what – was going on just a few minutes up the road on 101 in Santa Clara. But that was a backbreaker, and I even thought, you know, this thing was kind of meh.
Well, and Skyler pointing out the Sharks had 25 of their shots in the third period.
Yes.
You know what? It certainly, again, certainly didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
They weren't really good shots either.
No, and that's my whole thing. And this is, you know, when we first started talking about going on the air tonight, you know, originally I was not going to come on tonight, because I'm like, you know what? I got family in town. If you see my Twitter, you know, my pops is in town. We went to the game. We're going to be at the game on Saturday.
Hi,
and
she's dead.
I was like, yeah. So I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm gonna hang out with the pops, and, you know, we're going to enjoy this game. And I am like, just, oh my God, watching what is happening in this game. I'm seeing so much overpassing, so guys afraid to pull the trigger, just kind of no you take it. This wasn't even a case of when we've seen it where, oh hey, we're in front of the home crowd and we want to put on a show, so we're gonna pass it that way, we're gonna pass it. No, it was none of that. It was like, no, you take it, no I don't want it, you take it. But, and oh my God, the previous six games before New York, and we have talked about this on the Pucknologist, on these shows, that I think the Sharks had scored over 15 goals. 13 of them came from within 5 feet of the paint. Tonight, all of a sudden, and it started with New York, but tonight, how many times did you see Karlsson, Braun, Burns shooting from just trying to get that bomb in from the blue line? It goes wide, bounces off the boards, comes back out, one and done. And when you're trying to gain possession, that kind of game sucks and it doesn't work. And I don't understand what the hell PDB has going on in his mind splitting. Look, I understand you want to bring Thornton back. First ballot Hall of Famer, badass hockey player. But prior to Thornton coming back, you had taken points in six straight games. Hurdle, Meyer, and Couture were money. Suomela, Donskoy, and Sorensen were doing incredibly well. You bring one player back, and you decide to switch every freaking line. And you stayed with that for 30 minutes versus the Rangers. Then, like, you got your act together and decided to put Meyer back down with Cooch and Hurdle. And by that time, it was too little too late. Tonight, same exact thing. We saw Meyer start with the Joes. Then for a couple shifts, I saw Sorensen up with the Joes. Then they put Kane up with the Joes and finally put Meyer back down with it. But it's like, start the freaking game that way. What are you doing? And this is not a Ray Ratto just win the game. This is a, like, why are you trying to fix something that is not broken, PDB? I mean, for the love of God, I respect you. The hell are you doing?
Breaking news, AJ's turning into Ray Ratto.
Dude, no. Because it's not a case of just win the game. I'm not throwing that out there. I'm throwing out why. Why would you try to fix something that was so not broken? Somebody needs to explain to me the logic, the reasoning. I mean, granted, great hockey coach, knows far more about hockey than I will ever know, but I'm not the only one questioning him. Why would you break up a line that is on fire? Why? Just why? That's all. That's okay. I'm out, kids. I'll see you tomorrow.
And have a good night, AJ.
I actually don't really have much of an issue with the four changeups. It's more or less the defensive pairings with Dylan and Carlson. And like the last two games, that pairing is -5.
Oh, wait, who? Is Dylan, that Dylan Carlson?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. And Carlson with an incredibly horrible giveaway to end this game. I mean, oh, my Lord. What the hell were you thinking?
I'm not too sure if Dylan is the right person for Carlson.
But who is?
I think it's
Brian. If you're gonna maintain lefty righty,
I don't honestly think that matters.
It does to PDB.
It does to most. But I will say this as I come back in here for a sec.
Are you still here?
but I mean, there were a couple of times that PDB put freaking Burns and Carlson together in that third period.
Now here's another thing. You're giving Yoki Ryan, who was the Burns whisperer, taking up Paul Martin's mantle. How many minutes did Burns play tonight? Like 28 minutes. How many did Ryan play? Like 9. How is that working? That is not going to work full stop going the rest of the way. Either Ryan is the guy that you want with Burns out there. If you want to put Burns and Carlson together, okay. But, like, you know, they've already figured out that, well, we're not going to put Carlson with Vlasic because clearly Vlasic needs to be with Braun. That's where we found our success. So what do you do? What do you do?
And that's the thing. Talking time on ice. Oh, by the way, the Sharks did get a late power play and 2-man advantage. They didn't do anything, but they did allow a shorthand goal to finish off the game at 4-1 as your final. Time on ice, Dylan 16:43. Marc-Edouard Vlasic was under 20 minutes at 19:29. As AJ mentioned, Joachim Ryan at 9:02. 18:16 for Justin Braun, while Burns and Carlson were pretty much the same, logging over 27 and a half minutes in tonight's game. For that matter, Joe Thornton, as Andy Mann mentions in the chat, third most time on ice among forwards at 18:58 tonight. Quite interesting. Barclay Goodrow, along with Melker Carlson, under 8 minutes of ice time this evening.
Can we just talk about that for a second? Why the hell is Thornton getting like 19 minutes of ice time?
Yeah, that's interesting.
He is dragging ass out there. That was another thing that happened tonight. I don't know how many times I saw Sorensen do it. I saw Thornton do it multiple times. I'm trying to think. Was it LeBanc? There was at least four or five Sharks that tried to do that blind, behind them pass off the boards, trying to pick it to somebody else. And what it ends up on a Blue Jacket stick. What the hell are you guys? Oh, it was Erik Karlsson. That was the other guy who was guilty of it. Now, granted, there were a couple passes tonight that Karlsson pulled out of his backside that were some very nice passes. But when you turn around and you just completely flub some other ones, it's just, oh. I would have been the last one that I would have thought that, you know what? Erik Karlsson, that's actually a bad pickup for the Sharks. And at this point, you just kind of go, I mean, dude, what the hell is going on here? Now, granted, still, everybody's going to go, dude, small sample size, only 12 games in. Okay, that's fine. Talk to me on the 23rd after the Sharks have completed 12 games, 10 of which are at home, right before Thanksgiving. Let's see where we're at. Is Karlsson still a minus? Is he still leading the team as a minus? This, sometimes you pick up an all-star player, no matter what you do, they just don't jive with what is happening.
I think the bigger issue is that Wilson made a bet that, the league is moving more towards forwards than defensemen. The more importance towards that.
And Karlsson, Erik Karlsson and Burns both have that kind of forward mentality.
Yeah, but you're not playing at that position.
No, I get that, but they understand the play of that, and at least Erik Karlsson is a very, very fast defenseman.
Yeah, but
when he does screw up, generally he can make up for it on his feet.
I think the reason why Joe Thornton is still there's importance of him in the lineup is because our top six is still pretty weak compared to the last, I would say, the top teams in the Pacific.
Hold on. Whoa. Our top six forwards are weak when compared to the other ones in the Pacific?
I mean, in terms of spraying the ice, with the amount of speed on the ice in terms of transitioning the puck, you got to push the puck in order to give your defense some room to maneuver.
I will hand you that point, but I would not put our quote unquote top six versus the top six of other players. I would put our second and third six against those, because I'm telling you right now, and when you say top six, the top line is Couture, Hurdle, and Meyer. Don't know why PDB is resisting this with Thornton back. I don't know. But the other thing being, since Sorensen has been moved off the Suomela and Donskoi line, even that line is not as productive as it was. It makes me like I'm, like somebody give me the whistle, like I am starting to drive the fire PDB train, because I don't know why you fix something that is not broken.
I think you only fire Pierre DeBoer if the Sharks are 10 points out of the playoff spot, and that's it.
No, I see, and that's the problem. But it would take somebody that was like monumentally stupid to be out of a playoff spot with Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, Evander Kane. Like, how bad would you have to be to not be in a playoff spot with that much talent? Which goes back to my point. These back-to-back games, Columbus and New York, somebody, the fact that we all heard about the Drake concert after they came back from Anaheim and blah, 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 and they came out and looked like garbage against New York. And then last night, Halloween, and we see some of the players tweeting, kids coming to the front door. Who cares? I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is that you look at, to me, this, it's really not so much a case of the players. It's PDB putting guys in a position not to succeed. They had all this chemistry going prior to the return of Thornton. Like, I'm ready to, like, go Joe Galluli on Thornton tomorrow at practice. Like, dude, go sit back down. Stop it. You've ruined this team. Go, stop it. This
When was the last, Sharks coach to get fired midway through the season?
That would be Daryl Sutter in 2002. That happened in November. He was temporarily replaced by Cap Rader and Doug Wilson for a game for one game.
And the dude is undefeated.
Exactly.
He's perfect. Perfecto.
Greatest Sharks coach ever.
Yes.
Doug Wilson. Can we bring Al Sims back?
You go wash your mouth with soap right now for even attempting to say
something. Oh, Eric? Trick or treat. I'm just saying.
I'm just tired of seeing the
overpassing. The last two games has just been silly, and PDB is not putting these guys in a position to succeed when you saw what they did over the previous six games. That's my big point.
Alex, any further to add before we continue on?
I think you only fire PDB if you have guarantees from Carlson he'll stay next season. The coach. And then you have guarantees from literally, that would be the biggest one. So you're basically making a coach or player hire.
Gotcha. Well, that'll be interesting if they were to do that, but I can't see them making a change right now. I really can't. Now, granted, isn't this PDB's contract year for that matter too, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
It should be. Yeah, it should be the end of a four-year deal. And Chris, our buddy Chris, remember they had an awful performance in January, the year that they went to the Cup. So
right.
Far from lost at this point. Hey, you know what? That's great. But, for the people and Chris, I love you, bro. But we can also point, and you watch how fast Eric starts laughing. We can also point at the end of that January where the Sharks beat LA, Anaheim, and Chicago consecutively that we never heard the end of. And we're like 4 points ahead of everybody and then completely imploded in the month of February. If I remember correctly, they won 3 games in February and none of them were on home ice. They sucked. So, everybody can have a bad month. You want to talk about having a bad run? We can all point back to 2005 at the end of October when they, lost 10 games in a row and then said, maybe we should bring Joe Thornton in here and fix everything. So it's hold on. What is this? Davey's saying Eric Carlson isn't the problem. He was fantastic with Vlasic. I beg to disagree. Together they had a 63 Corsi 4, but had a 918 PDO. Basically, they were very good, but really unlucky. Well, okay. You know what?
Unlucky gives you -3 on the night, though. That's
exactly. So my whole thing is I'm fine with putting in, and we said this when we all went on the air when Carlson was signed as a Shark. We talked about it. How do you deploy this? Do you split up, Burns, Vlasic, and Carlson, your three, so there's always at least one of them on the ice.
Right.
Or do you, say, okay, you do it almost like in a financial scale where it's, okay, well, Ryan has proven to be the Paul Martin Jr. a little bit, but you're not going to put Eric Carlson, who will, be one of your highest paid players, down with Brendan Dillon, one of your lowest paid players. So there's, especially when Vlasic and Braun has proven so much chemistry. So it's either way, this is, it just comes down to the fact Carlson has not found, he is not Stella because the groove has not been found. Now, when the groove is found, it should be cool.
But the
way that I think that you find your groove is if the guys in front of you are put in a position to win the game. And when you are constantly being having your line changed when you played six games straight and you were doing very, very well. And for some reason, because somebody came back, I get it. If you want to change one line to bring somebody back, if they would have just sent Gambrell down, said, Joe, we're going to put you on the fourth line. Hopefully you can, you know, spark Carlson and Goodrow, Carlson and Charchie, whoever, I don't care, but we're going to leave everything else the same because it's working. I don't have a problem with that. But to sit there and bring Thornton back, and because you brought Thornton back, you've changed every freaking line. You put Meyer up with the Joes. You put LeBanc, who had been, you know, not good over those games, put LeBanc in place on the Couture line. Then you move Sorensen from the third line down to the fourth line. What the hell are you doing? Okay. I'm sorry. Rant over, but PDB just... WTF, dude. WTF.
And with that, we'll go into the chat. Andy Man saying, I'm not panicked, but I am concerned with how PDB is distributing ice time. He's laying heavy on the top five forwards and the big three demon. That'll hurt in March, April, and beyond.
Steve Cropper in the chat asking me for me to show my unicorn. Here you go, good sir. There it is.
Alrighty.
That is, you don't know how long I've had this puck waiting to get it signed by one Mr. Yevgeny Nabokov, but not as number 20, as number 35, which is what I have all my Nabby stuff. So he wanted to see it. There you go. But I also ended up kind of a last minute thing, and there's video of it on Instagram and Twitter. Would you like to, if you, okay, we'll save it to the end, but if you'd like to see what a Sharkygram entails this season, I will show you.
All righty. Rob Iman saying Joe is getting way too minutes. The Joes is not the reunion I want. I can't see them breaking up the Joes, though. I really can't, unfortunately. Skylar Greenberg, but Joe does not play third or fourth line minutes. He is a top six player.
He is. I get that. Yeah, keep the Joes together. That's fine with Kane. But the whole thing is give them 3, 4, 5 games to try to build up some chemistry. Don't give them 20 minutes and go, you know what? It's not working. Going to break it up. Do something else. Put LeBanc up there. Put Sorensen up there. Makes no sense.
Skylar Greenberg also saying plus minus is not a great stat, but it is important because it does tell a story. It does tell a story, along with Corsi 4 and Fenwick, all of that does. The interesting is that, well, you know, minus 3 tonight means he was on the ice for three goals against him, and that's not good. I mean, yes, bad luck, absolutely, but it wasn't exactly the greatest on there. So can we ban saying plus minus? No, we cannot, Chris. Sorry. So let's do the final stats here really quick. We kind of mentioned it in here already, but the Sharks did somehow manage to get 25 shots on goal in the third period. I think I speak for AJ and Alex both agree that it was definitely not sure how they saw it. I think probably it was like 8 of them were probably from Evander Kane trying to getting those chances on there. Speaking of which, Evander Kane with 11 shots on goal tonight. He was trying to get out of his schneid big time. He led everybody with 11 on the night.
Dude, he was throwing that puck on net like he owed it money. Too soon?
Yeah, we won't even get
shots on goal. 45-27 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs. It looks like they were working on their faceoffs, and they dominated in the faceoff circle. 66-34 on the power play. The Sharks go 0-for-3 technically, because their 5-on-3 essentially died and was in there for about a. With a minute left. Columbus went 0-for-1, as we mentioned before. 30 block shots for Columbus to 4. The Sharks had 6 giveaways to Columbus's 1. Your 3 stars of the night, Duclair, Bobrovsky and Nedovara, all three from Columbus and deservingly so. Even Randy Hahn mentioned this was a thud. So that was interesting and honest.
Dude, you should have listened.
During intermission, too.
You should have listened to Ruzanowski the last 4 minutes of this game, taking no prisoners. And him with Hedy, they were, man, I don't know that I've heard that much honesty from the, like, there was so much honesty coming from Ruzanowski and Hedy that I fully expect them to be to the radio team for Edmonton next season. Like, dude, they weren't even kidding.
Where's the rim shot?
Yeah, I know. But you know what the cool part was tonight? And it's very rare, but look at this. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They do have paper tickets still, believe it. So, again, it was awesome to meet Jerry. Jerry SJS. Who won tickets from Teal Town USA along with, I believe his name was Ethan Castle. So nice. Great to both of those guys won tickets from watching Teal Town USA and being part of the crew. So if you are interested in winning tickets or other interesting items, of which I'm looking at, I actually have a small stack of stuff that's sitting right here that we are going to be using as some giveaways. Mm-hmm. Do us a favor, man. Smash that. Go to Pound Town on the subscribe button for the YouTube. Follow at Teal Town USA on Insta, on Twitter. Hit up the SoundCloud account. Like some of our tracks. Give us a review on iTunes. Make sure you say just all of our social media, man. Just slide into our DMs is what we're saying. And you know, just be cool. That's all.
All right. I'm just trying to make sure we got everything in there. Mariah, Jay in the chat, agree with Dave on Carlson. I also remember PDB saying he's trying not to step on anyone's toes while still playing his game. Maybe that's why it's taking him a while to find his groove.
Hold on.
Also agree with...
What?
Hold on. Wait. Did you just say that PDB is not trying to step on anybody's toes? You're the freaking head coach. You can get out there with clog stompers and stomp on anybody who you want.
Hasn't he always been a player's coach, though? Wasn't that his role in New York or New Jersey?
So I hate the term player's coach. What the hell is Tortorella, by the way? What is he considered? I'm just curious.
A hard ass?
Like a not reporter's coach?
I mean...
That's one way of putting it. Yes, and like Felix says, hit that subscribe button, y'all. Burns wrist shot it. Yes, I agree. And of course, check out your content on TealTownUSA.com. We have a bunch of writers who like to write, along with the Puckdologist and our After Dark show that you're watching right now. We thank you to the 37 people watching this evening.
I was just going to say, just with that, I was out at the tank pretty early. I think I got there at about 5 o'clock. Went over to a favorite watering hole. Had two people say, "Hey, AJ, how you doing? Love Teal Town USA. Love what you guys are doing." And then once I was at the tank, you know, like I said, there was Jerry, there was Skyler, there's a few other people that said hello to me. I will say Teal Town USA people, they are the nicest people in person. And it's really nice to hear the positive feedback, because I wanted to quit this yesterday. No, I'm kidding. But no, it's really nice to hear the positive feedback.
We appreciate it immensely. So it is time, and we're actually going to get the title right this time for it. It is time for the NHL wrap around, as we had plenty of games going on. In fact, one that started at 11 a.m. today. So for those of you who forgot to set their fantasy hockey teams because they're at frickin' work today and had Patrick Laine, damn it!
That's why you set it a week ahead of time.
Yeah, but 11 o'clock. Why? Because they sure as heck promoted the heck out of this global series game.
Hold on
NBCSN, right?
Can I ask a question? Why was this game held so early?
Because it was played in Europe.
Okay, but I mean, like, I would get that, like, if it was on a Saturday. why, you know, Thursday?
In the words of Scooby-Doo,
so this is kind of like the same time, like when the Sharks played at 10 a.m. on Columbus Day that nobody had off. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. You ready for it?
Yes, let's do it.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's wraparound.
There goes a copy grind strike.
Yeah. Agree to disagree.
All right. So overseas, the Winnipeg Jets beat the Florida Panthers 4-2. Matthew Perreault had the first goal for Winnipeg, but then it was the Patrick Laine show as he scored 3 goals in this game, a hat trick. James Reimer, former Shark James Reimer, takes the loss for the Panthers as they go to 2-5-3. The Jets now have 17 points on the campaign. In Toronto, the Austin Matthews-less Toronto Maple Leafs lose to the Dallas Stars 2-1. Jamie Benn and Shore were your goal scorers as Patrick Marleau, former Shark Patrick Marleau, gets his second goal of the season on the power play, but it wasn't enough as the Leafs go to 8-5. The Stars go to 7-5.
I'm not the only person that's like shocked that Marleau this far into the season only has 2 goals.
Yeah.
I am a little bit surprised, especially with Austin Matthews out.
Yeah, I mean, 13 games played, he only has 2 goals. That's a little shocking to me, especially when you consider the firepower in that team. But I digress, Eric.
Yes, to answer Richard Davalos in the chat, I didn't. I just didn't set my lineup for who. Why would you ever bench Laine?
Can we talk about the former Sharks alert on the aisle?
That's what we're going to talk about. Thomas Greiss putting up a stellar performance.
Greiss, baby.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, copyright that. Islanders win 3-2 over the Penguins in a shootout. Josh Bailey and Anders Lee with the goals for the Islanders. Simon and Malkin get goals for the Pens. The Pens are now at 15 points, as are the Islanders at 7-4-1.
And if my scorecard is correct, I do believe that Malkin has points in 3 straight games.
Yep.
You would be correct, sir. In Montreal.
Oh, crap. Here he goes.
Kakaniemi gets his first 2 NHL goals. Brendan Gallagher scores 2. Max Domi and Joe Armia score the fastest 2 goals in Montreal Canadiens history. As the Canadiens beat the Capitals 6-4, Alexander Ovechkin 2 goals on the evening. Yes, try and say that fast, folks.
What was his last name again?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing myself.
Kotkaniemi.
I didn't quite hear that. What was that?
Yeah,
that's spelled Kotkaniemi.
And the way you pronounce it, it sounds like it's spelled Cockoniemi. That's what I'm just saying. But I will have to say, I wasn't the biggest Ty Domi fan. God damn, I love me some Max Domi.
Short guy. Does wonders, and he's making that trade look really good for Galchenyuk. Exactly. It looks really good. He's found a home there in Montreal.
Phoenix has got to be pissed off.
In the Canadian capital of Ottawa, the Ottawa Senators win 4-2.
Post-teal syndrome
for Dylan DeMello, who scored his second goal of the season, which is 2 more than he scored all of last season.
Hey, Eric. Who scored the first goal for the Sabres?
You can add one more to the population of Palmerville.
Oh, I am never going to ask that question ever again.
You asked, and I shall give it to you.
You ask, and I shall receive. Go ahead. No. Try to figure that one out, buddy.
No, I said give it to you.
Yeah.
I'm welcome back to Teal Town after Eric.
Yeah, you know, go figure. 4-2, the final. The Sabres lose to the Ottawa Senators. The Sens are now at 12 points. The Sabres are at 14. In Detroit, Detroit is on fire all of a sudden. The Red Wings beat the Devils 4-3 as the Devils are now at 500 at 5-4-1. Vatanen, Coleman, Johansson, the goals for the Devils. For Detroit, you had Frick, Rasmussen, and Abdelkader along with Daly. The Red Wings score 4 in the third period, including 2 shorthanded goals. Jimmy Howard with the win for there. Corey Schneider losing in Detroit. In Tampa Bay, 4-1, the final for the Predators over the Lightning. Churis, Josi, Yarncroc, and Salamaki getting goals for Nashville. Some guy that's not named Steven Stamkos was the lone goal scorer for Tampa. In St. Louis.
Dude, Nashville's for real, man.
What's that?
What's that?
Nashville's for real, dude. I'm already penciling them in to go to the finals.
That's what we said last year.
And how far off were we? Not a lot.
Second round and bust.
One round.
No, one round. Well,
it was the third round, dude.
No, they lost.
I thought they lost in the third to Vegas, didn't they?
Nope. Second round. They lost to Winnipeg in round 2.
Yeah.
In 7 games. So the Predators Predators have go ahead.
Either way, Preds, dude, I'm penciling them in already, dude. They're going to represent the East.
What about
you mean the West? About,
yeah, the West.
What, or I'm sorry, the West. Sorry.
With how about
well,
with
dude, a, when you look at a map, they're that far. I mean, they're in freaking Nashville. They're almost on the eastern side of the Mississippi. I'm just saying.
True. But how about with or without Renee?
I think even with
Saros Renee, played pretty good too. Yeah, I was
gonna say, dude, Saros is, I mean, you throw away that ridiculous comeback that the Sharks had. Saros was money up until that.
So I wonder what they're going to do if they're going to go with Saros.
I don't know. Let's talk about this in 40 games.
Eric? It should be quite interesting, though. But a quick aside here. I remember how people were comparing the Sharks defense along with the Predators defense. It's still early, but I think the Predators have the upper edge right now.
No, Preds look good. Can we talk about the guy who scored the second goal for Vegas tonight?
Getting to that, the Blues beat the Golden Knights 5-3. Sundqvist with 2 goals for the Blues, along with Tarasenko 6 on the power play. Parayko and Bozak all scoring the goals for the Blues, who go to 4-4-3. Jake Allen with the victory there. However, he did allow 3 goals by Pierre Delmar, Eric
Holla,
and Alex Tuck you into your bed. With the goals for the Vegas Golden Knights, who are now 5-7-1. I will say this. I found quite an interesting tweet coming from one of the Vegas bloggers complaining about how people are saying this team sucks. This is what you were supposed to go through year 1.
And year 2. And year 3. And year 4. That's probably about 7 years. But anyway, on to Calgary.
In Southern Alberta, the Flames are now in first place of the Pacific Division with a 6-5 victory over the Colorado Avalanche. Backlund, Lindholm, Monahan, Neal, Giordano, Frolik all getting the goals for Calgary. Varlamov loses as he allowed 1 more goal than Calgary's did, with Kamenev, Dries, Wilson, Soderberg, and Landeskog all getting goals for Colorado.
Watch out for Calgary, man.
The Avs are at 16 points. The Flames are at 17. In Northern Alberta, the Oilers shut out the Blackhawks 4-0 as they did not cam ward this bitch. Drake Cajula scoring 2 goals along with Garrison and Chason getting the other 2 for the Oilers. Yes, that's right, folks. The Oilers won and Connor McDavid did not score a goal.
Dude, Cajula, I like that name, but he's so sexy. We just need to switch that to Caligula because it's such a great name.
Down in SoCal,
Really? Nothing? Okay, fine.
I wasn't even going to touch that one.
That's all right. Hey, hey, Silverberg is back. Raquel is back. Still not enough. And
yes, the Rangers, deja vu all over again. The Rangers win in a shootout. 3-2
versus a California team.
Yes. Hayes and Howden with the goals for the Rangers, Silverberg and Raquel for the Ducks. Both teams have 5 wins. The Ducks at 13, the Rangers at 11 now, as the Rangers are starting to come on now.
So can I just assume that the Rangers are going to beat the Kings in overtime on Saturday just to, you know, keep the progression going? Or are the Kings that bad? Oh, I don't know. Let's talk about that 3-win team.
They are only 7 points.
7 points is what they entered the night. 7 points is what they enter into tomorrow, as the Kings lose their 7th straight, 5-2 over the Philadelphia Flyers. Provorov gets his 2nd of the season. Simmons, Lindholm, and Giroux and Hag get the goals for the Flyers, as Jack Campbell takes the loss. Jeff Carter and Ilya Kovalchuk getting the goals for the Los Angeles Kings, as they are struggling mightily. And we've told you about the Columbus Blue Jackets beating the Sharks 4-1. That is it for the NHL wraparound, I believe.
Reach around.
Not reach around, it's wraparound.
I think this is the first time in early November that Arizona is higher than Los Angeles. It may be
20 years.
Yeah.
Since they moved from Winnipeg.
Looking at the standings right now, because it's quite interesting to look at these standings right now. Calgary in first place with 17 points. Vancouver at 16, Edmonton at 15. Those three teams, I think maybe we thought maybe Calgary, maybe Edmonton might get into a wild card spot. But yes, it is still early, but it's quite interesting to see how this is trending out so far. San Jose currently sitting in the number 2 wild card spot at 15. But conference wise, the spread between third in the Central, which is Minnesota at 16, to 6th in the wild card for Arizona is separated by 4 points. So it is still tight in the Western Conference, no matter what you say.
Who had Minnesota with 16 points?
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Look at how pissed off Kayla is because I stopped petting her. She like looked at me, she's like,
that's what you get.
You're not dumb. You are not done, dude. But yeah, we need to get I'm gonna have to let me see. Yeah, 11:13. We're probably going to sign up for the next 10 minutes. I have no problem setting up Kayla Cam from like 11:30 to midnight tonight, if you're interested.
Oh my God.
It's pretty much going to be a lot of this right over here.
Do we get to do after dark?
No.
We just have Kayla Cam.
It's just Kayla Cam after dark. That's it.
You know, I need to get my dogs involved a lot more with this show, I think.
No, she, you know, this woman, she moves the needle, is what I'm saying. Like, you know, but anyway.
Also coming up tomorrow night at 7 p.m., the San Jose Barracuda. Take on the San Antonio Rampage at the Shark Tank. Tickets still available starting at like $10. So check that out. The Barracuda and the Rampage tomorrow night at the Tank. Definitely check that out. Also, they also have a home game on the 5th against the Stockton Heat. That's a 7 o'clock game on Monday night. So definitely check it out.
Let's talk about the next one, man.
Well, I was, but then
I'm sorry.
I was talking about the Barracuda's next one. But you're right. Let's talk about Saturday night. Hopefully the force will be strong with us, as the San Jose Sharks have Star Wars night against the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I don't care. But it's to the point, after you see these last two games, I don't care about promotions. I don't care what the Sharks are giving away at the door. I appreciate them, but that's not my primary motivation. We're talking about a Philadelphia team who's coming in. They've won their last two games. They are still stinging from an 8-2 shellacking that the Sharks put on them in Philadelphia. Do not think, despite them having a losing record at 6-7, don't think that these guys aren't going to come in and say, hey, you know what? The Sharks have looked like dog crap the last two games. We've just won our last two games. Let's, you know, finish off this California triangle in big style and lay down a smackdown. This game on Saturday is going to be huge. And for me, the thing that's really going to be huge about it, DeBoer, put Meyer back with Couture and Hurdle. Stop it. Stop trying to fix what is not broken.
He's probably not going to do that just because he wants depth on all four lines. And the Flyers
How's that been working out for him?
I would say not so good, but here's the thing. Columbus is a playoff team. New York isn't. And I'm more worried about the performance against New York than against Columbus. It's not really good how they faced up against Columbus, but, you know, I'm more worried about how they were just not showing any effort at all against New York. And if that's the type of leadership they have in the locker room, then I'm more worried about what Pavelski's leadership is.
I didn't see a whole lot of, well, I'm not questioning Pavelski's leadership. I'm questioning PDB mixing lines that had no business being mixed.
You know,
after two games of this crap, hopefully he learns and we see Meyer starting off with Couture and Hurdle, especially since tonight that all of those streaks were all ended. Burns and Meyer's streaks were ended tonight, as was Hurdle's.
I remember a lot of the saying in February and March how the Pierre DeBoer line blender actually worked out just because everyone had line chemistry with everyone. So,
all right.
What I'm saying is right now it's early November.
All right. Talk to me on Valentine's Day. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm more worried about Carlson. And
I would agree.
Yeah. And it's November. And we only played how many games? 8, 9?
We're at 12, right?
12. So we're still in the wild card hunt. I'm not even going to say the word yet. I'm not worried about the Sharks yet.
No, I get that, but it's just over that course of that 3-game road trip. It's like they figured out the power play. They figured out a few things, and it was kind of like, okay, we have two things we have to address. We have to address Erik Karlsson. We have to address some of the play by Jones. But the fact of the matter is, they went 20 opportunities before they scored on the power play. And then something changed, and all of a sudden the power play went from 29th in the league to like 12th in the league over the course of like 13 games. Or, well, not 13 games, 13 days, I'm sorry. But either way, they figured that out. And one of the keys to that was crashing the net, which is something that they have not done the last two games. Get back to crashing the net and put the lines back the way they were. Stop fixing things that are not broken, DeBoer.
I get what you're saying, AJ, and I agree with you about the power play, but our 5-5 game is just not great this right now. Like, if you look against Carolina.
But that's how power plays come in.
But you shouldn't be relying on...
You shouldn't, but yeah. There's going to be games when you have to. There's going to be like 10% of the games that's, you know, special teams are going to be the big thing. I mean, so far we've seen Sharks have gone to a shootout twice, lost both of them. That could be another thing down the line that, you know, when we get to game 70 the Sharks have gone to the shootout 10 times and they've won 3 of them.
Yeah, but if you're scoring on the East Coast trip, it was like 12 out of 16 goals were on the power play. It was something.
I don't think it was that much, but
it was, let's just say it was like above 50%, or it was like 50 to 60%. that shouldn't be the case. And
it shouldn't be the case, but I enjoy that because it tells other teams, don't take a penalty against these guys. Don't play that heavy because their power play is lethal.
But I see both of your points that.
Well, all right.
I see it. and I, right. Dun, dun. Yeah. These are their stories. They do need to be a lot better 5-on-5. They do need to be a little bit better on the power play. Kudos. Let's give them some kudos that the PK is gone 22 straight without allowing a goal, because it was a little treacherous early on. So I'll definitely give them with that. So
your idea of treacherous and mine, but go ahead.
I mean, we went through 1171 and 2. It's not as treacherous as that, though. Anywho, in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, check us out on Tealtown USA or your favorite podcatcher. Oh, with...
So did not just do
that. He had that queued up. So
wow. That's been queued up for like the last like 90 minutes. Oh my God.
See what happens when they talk, and I have some time to set up stuff.
When I saw you go muted, I was like, oh, this can't be good.
Yeah.
Shut up.
When you leave Puck Guy to his own devices, everything goes sideways.
So please check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. Of course, as we mentioned, pound down to the Tealtown YouTube channel. So... Oh, all right. Lord.
So do you guys want to see what is included in the Sharkygram this season, or should I save that for a separate video?
Go for it.
I'm going to throw that question out to the chat. Oh. Do you want to see what a Sharkygram looks like this season, or I'll do it on a separate video and we should just like, you know, cut bait now, which I'm fine with either way.
Put it in Instagram.
Okay. Because a lot of people got a kick out of the jersey video I did earlier in the week.
Oh, so. Laurel says, yes, please, quickly.
Yes, please, quickly. Okay. Start the clock. I'll give this to you in 90 seconds. Start the clock. Okay, so you do get a nice bag that has Sharky on it, right? You get a snapback hat, and you know what? I usually hate snapback hats. I like fitted hats. This is one of the nicest snapback hats. Teal with the gray. This is a very soft, pliable material. It's not that heavy cotton bull s. You get a Sharks for Life on the back. You get a screaming logo, all embroidered. This very solid hat. I was very impressed with that. Very happy with that. You get this huge flag. It's huge.
Oh, I like that flag.
I could use that as a background.
Yeah.
And on the bottom it says, this is Sharks territory. So very cool. I'm trying to, you know, spread it around so everybody can see all points. So yeah, big ass flag. If I remember correctly, I do believe that's like 3x5 feet. You get stickies. Who doesn't like, you know, like fat head type stickies? My only beef with this, like a couple of years ago when they would do fat heads, they were, it wasn't like this caricature. It was like an actual photo of Sharky. You know what I mean? It wasn't a cartoon version of him. Aside from that, I really love the other logos, and these will be on my laptop very soon.
Very nice.
Then you also get, very nice as well, a photo frame to frame your, a nice 5x7. Pretty sweet. Nice teal background. I think Rocket will probably appreciate the back of this more than the front.
That'll probably be gone when she comes into town, just FYI.
Just because of the amount of teal. Then you also, this is kind of cool too, you get a autographed puck. Best Fishes, SJ Sharky.
Nice.
Right? Who doesn't want one of those? But the outre, the, you know, pièce de résistance.
The je ne sais quoi?
Yes, the certain, I don't know what. The je ne sais quoi is... what does it say at the top? The SJ Sharkey hashtag hockey hugs bobblehead. Now, nice. I'm trying to get that without all the glare in it because I haven't opened it up. But what's funny about this, the back of the box is actually kind of cooler. It's all the time Sharkey is hugged like Burns and Hurdle and whoever. But this is the whitest base of a bobblehead I've ever seen. But anyway, that is the pièce de résistance. But I go back to the lid. I'm not a snapback guy. You can see on the back. This is snapback. This is the most comfortable snapback hat I've ever worn in my life. And I'm going to be honest with you. When it's a thing like a Sharky Graham where you purchase something and it's kind of sight unseen and all that, usually I'm thinking, you know, the quality is not going to be that good. Again, purchasing the Sharky Graham, I'm not even kidding you. It's almost worth it just for the hat. This is the most comfortable snapback hat I've ever worn. And I'm not BSing you. Okay. So on the 6th, if you've purchased a ticket, the promotional ticket, well, hold on. Let's go to the 3rd. The 3rd, everybody gets a Star Wars shirt. Now, you might get a white Rebel, you know, good guys one. You might get a black Empire one. That's what happens on the 3rd. But if you purchased, but that's an everybody through the door gets one. But you can look at Eric's camera right now and see that if you purchase the correct promo package, you will get one of these shark head figurines that are so ridiculous. Now, I'm going to put this out here now, and I think I did it on the last show. If you follow this show, you're looking at this shark's figurine that Eric is putting on display right now. We're going to give away one of these.
Ooh. Okay?
We're going to do a giveaway. How do you increase your chances of winning this awesome figurine? No, keep it up there.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. How do you increase your chances of winning this killer kick-ass figurine? Hold on, my favorite shot is when you look through the back of it. That's always the best. No, through the back of the hole where the players come out at. Yeah, that's always that cracks me up. So in order to win one of these, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our SoundCloud, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, give us a review on iTunes, you know, give us a review on SoundCloud, all of our social media channels, because what we're going to do is we're going to run the gamut. We're going to look at all the people that follow the most social media channels. And out of those people, we will determine a winner. But if you're just a person who just only subscribes to YouTube or just follows us on Twitter, your chances of winning are going to go down a sketch. I'm just being honest. So if you're interested in the figurine, that's the way to play, people. So with that, thank you very much for joining us. We will see you after the Flyers game. Eric, get us out of here.
All right. Well, where can the people find you, AJ?
They can find me in my office with my favorite beer.
And Kayla.
Yeah, and Kayla, of course. You can find me with Laurel's favorite cat in the world over here. You can find me AJ_strong on Twitter, on Instagram. Threw up some live video tonight for the Teal Town USA account on Instagram. That, ladies and gentlemen, is where you can find me. Occasional articles on Teal Town USA. And hello, new puck knowledge just came out just a couple days ago on SoundCloud. Go check it out.
And the return of Hockey Jerk, which was pretty hilarious.
It very much was. And guess who's back? Just saying.
Yes. Mr. Alex Martinet, a pleasure to have you back on as always, and repping the SGSU hoodie. I need to get you one of those SGSU hockey jerseys that they had before they went generic on us. But that's beside the point. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Rough game tonight. But everything's we kind of went over already, but you can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. I'm always talking Sharks hockey, always talking NHL. I'm also talking football all the time. So if you want to talk sports, that's the place to do it. Yeah, I'll see you Saturday.
Definitely. Of course, you can follow me on the Twitter and the Instagram at PuckGuy14, where we, where myself and Mr. Strong still do share custody of the black stealth jersey that Mr. Becker gave us. I'm not lying, BJ. Although we did get into a nice little debate about why the All-Star patch wasn't on the stealth jersey. Did you happen to see that one?
No, I know we've gone forever. Not that. No. The cool thing that I found out tonight, warm-up pucks have the All-Star logo on them.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I think I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that.
My bad. I should have showed you the one I cut, so my apologies. With that, we'll wrap it up. We've gone way, way too long, but we appreciate all the viewership. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We will be back with you following Sharks and Flyers on Star Wars night. Oh, how on earth could we possibly follow up Star Wars night?
It's going to be gritty.
it's going to be gritty. But I'm telling you, after these last two games, these are not the Sharks I'm looking for.
No, they aren't who we thought they were. And let's hope we don't let them off the hook. So until then, we will see you in a galaxy far, far away. And next time, keep it real, keep it teal, and keep it real teal. We'll see you Saturday night following the Sharks and Flyers. Good night, everyone.